I think we knew this guy was going to be a Hall of Famer. It was just a matter of when that nod was going to come. Well, it came today. Former Calgary Stampeders running back John Cornish is going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2019. I'll just run down a little bit of the resume. The 2013 CFL Most Outstanding Player, a three-time Most Outstanding Canadian, the 2013 Lou Marsh Trophy Award winner for the best athlete in Canada, period, and a two-time Grey Cup champion. And that really only scratches the surface as John Cornish joins us on the program this afternoon. Mr. Cornish, congratulations. How's it feel to be a Hall of Famer?
Thank you very much, Pat. It feels pretty good. I can't necessarily say I was waiting for this opportunity, but when I first heard about it, I can't say I was not speechless. I don't normally, I'm not normally speechless at any point. So yeah. it was a very very novel. I was very happy to be a recipient.
So when did you win, and how did you find out?
Yeah, so I was just in my office, just shooting off some emails. And then I received notice. Mark Noble, the head of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, gave me a call, and I was just sort of taken aback. Took some time to sort of process it. Then he let me go, and then we also talked. John, don't tell anybody. And then I proceeded to go tell my entire office. So I was pretty excited.
Yeah, well, I would think so. And it's, from our standpoint, an extremely deserving honor. Let's go back to the start. Let's go back. So you finish your high school career in BC. You're off to the University of Kansas, which, let's be honest, at the time, Kansas was and still is. It's a basketball school. It's not football. Mm-hmm. is not the number one sport, and yet you put up some incredible numbers in that school. You're still playing Div 1 football, but take us through your time at Kansas. Was pro football the number one thing? Was that the only thing on your mind? I'm curious as to your college time and what you saw lying ahead for you.
Yeah, so when I first got down to Kansas, I had the opportunity to play as a true freshman. Played a game. I think at the time I was one of the youngest Big 12 football players ever because I was only 17. But then the season really stopped working out how the coaches imagined. We ended up losing the first few games, and then they made the decision to give me a medical red shirt. So then the following year, getting geared up to play and stuff, during that season, I really set myself apart on the special teams. So I was really proud of that. I'd always loved special teams, so that went well for me. But then, I started encountering some issues with my coaches. I had I had torn my quadriceps, and the trainers, I don't want to say they misdiagnosed it, but they said that I wasn't injured. So I was forced to take myself out of practice. That's a big no-no for football coaches. That sort of got me in the doghouse for the next few years. But I was lucky enough to figure out other things to do. And I became a student senator. I got our campus. This is 2004, mind you. Our campuses didn't necessarily have Wi-Fi at the time. So I got our campus Wi-Fi. So we actually ended up setting up I think it was 70,000 initially of student funding. So really tried to grow outside of football. I was also the external vice president for my fraternity, Pi Kappa Alpha, as well as the vice president of my housing committee. So I found other things to do. And, I was just trying to build up my resume because I didn't think football was going to be a big deal. So I was just trying to, make sure I had a nice university, a nice, fulsome university experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't until my last years when all the football players that were ahead of me on the depth chart failed out, got arrested, beat up, a whole bunch of different stuff. All of a sudden I went from eighth to second on the depth chart, and then I had an opportunity to play. And in my very first game, I rushed for 100, really, really dominated the game. And at that point, I decided I could actually play.
Well, and it's funny you talk about, some of the issues you had with the coaching staff and some of the allegations that came to light with who was the head coach after the fact. I think that
that was Mangino. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That all kind of, it all kind of made sense, especially when you hear you lay it out like that. John Cornish is with us. He is an inductee into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, part of the class of 2019. So you're drafted by the Calgary Stampeders. You decide to go the Canadian route instead of trying NFL free agency, and you roll into Calgary, and you've got a perennial all-star in front of you on the depth chart in Joffrey Reynolds. Tell us about biding your time, working your way up. You started on special teams, then you're number two on the depth chart as the running back, so on and so forth. Tell us about biding your time in the first few years at the Calgary Stampeders.
You know, when I first came in, I had Wes Cates and Joffrey Reynolds in front of me. Two very established guys, very, very successful at what they do. So it wasn't necessarily, not sure if it was a little bit easy, loud for you. It wasn't the easiest place to imagine that I would have success continuing to play football. But, you know, I knew that if I just, you know, continue to do what I did in university, continue to work hard, you know, just apply myself at getting better at the game, you know, I knew I would find success. So, you know, Joffrey continues his career. 2010, we had sort of a 2-in-1 setup. So for every three plays, he would get two drives, and I would get one drive. So I started having the opportunity to carry the ball a little bit more, gain that confidence that's needed. And then, you know, sort of my career took off from there.
Yeah. Well, and when you took over in 2011, It looked like it was the right call immediately. And then you had that run from 2012 through 2014. And, you know, you had the almost 1,900-yard season. You had the year where you're almost at 2,000 yards if you play the entire year. But just take us back to that run where it was the best of John Cornish. At the time, were you aware of how unprecedented and how impressive these feats were, or was it not until you were removed from it a little bit?
You know, in 2012, I thought was a decent year, but it was it wasn't necessarily the best that I thought I could be. 2012 was a year that I thought was it was a good learning opportunity. My first full year as a starter. But you know, like I wasn't overly satisfied with that season. I found myself, you know, trying to do more. You know, these were numbers in the 1500 range, great seasons for a running back. But I thought I could probably improve on that. And so coming into the 2013 season, I really stressed meditation and like sort of mastering the game mentally and not just physically, like I tried to do in 2012. Really just like mastering the playbook, understanding what every single person on the field was doing, as well as watching a lot of tape on my opponents. So combining those two things, that led to the 2013 season, which I actually don't believe was my best season. Statistically, I rushed for the most yards, but it wasn't until the 2014 season that I truly felt that I had captured the skill set that was necessary.
Yeah.
To play at the highest level. I mean, averaging 8 yards a carry, nearly 8 yards a carry in 2014, that for me, that is the pride of my career, to be able to win the rushing title in half a season. You know, those are things that I look back on fondly. So in terms of statistics, that was 2014 was number two all time in terms of yards per game in the season. And then I finished my career with a career average around 6.7. So, you know, those are the things I try to do, as become as efficient as possible. When you get the ball, what are you doing? How can you produce? And I just try to really, when I had the opportunity to carry the ball, I tried to maximize that.
How frustrating was the end of the career and how things kind of wrapped up, knowing that in a lot of ways, it really wasn't up to you?
Yeah. The you know, I had the opportunity to continue my career in football sort of off the field. You know, the Stampeders presented an opportunity to me shortly after I had retired that, you know, I really couldn't pass up, you know, the opportunity to be a ambassador for the team. And, you know, I had been working for the bank, TD Bank, for 3 years at that point. I had secured a position on one of their wealth teams. So, I was pretty set up. You know, I had my retirement press conference, and then the following day I showed up to work. So, you know, in terms of transition, that was really easy. Was it a hard call for me to make? No, because I had that sort of plan in place well before I ever encountered any injuries. In fact, as soon as I became a starter in 2012, I went and got a job with TD. So, you know, all those things sort of worked out that my transition out of football was very smooth. But overall, I would say because I had sort of preordained, like when I was injured in 2014, I stated that to myself that 2015 would be my last season. So like that sort of removed the shouldn't I kind of mindset, more just like, okay, this is my last season. What can I get done?
Yeah, which, I mean, has got to, from a mental standpoint, has got to make it so much easier to play that final year as opposed to... Because look, from the outside, there are a lot of Stampeder fans and a lot of CFL observers who hate the way that your career came to an end because of one hit that I still don't think has ever been penalized as harshly as it should have been. But it must have been so much easier for you mentally to be able to reconcile everything, knowing that you kind of made that pact with yourself.
Yeah. Sorry, just going to get loud here for a second. You know, the opportunity that I had, to even play on the team that I did, the Calgary Stampeders had a very stacked offensive line. Playing with a guy like Brett Jones now down in the States. He's been down there for a while. Spencer Wilson, I always loved playing with him. He's a huge guy. And then, you know, our different guys that had to come in and play different roles. When I played on a team like that, you know, it made my job easy. But, you know, when I suffered an injury, you know, it wasn't what anybody wanted. But because I had the support of a team like the Calgary Stampeders, who were able to give me the time away from football to get healthy without any pressure, because I had that, it really did make it easier for me. I mean, obviously, you know, bad plays are going to happen. Penalties are going to happen in the sport of football. This is how it is. But I did feel that my forgiveness of the hit was vital for me to come back to the sport of football, because, you know, it likely is the court case that those kinds of injury, or sorry, those kinds of actions are not punished as thoroughly as they should be. But you know, I'm not the rule setter. You know, the rules are what they are. So you have to live with what the decision said is, and just keep on living your life.
Yeah. Couple more with John Cornish, 2019 class for the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. You were always talked about, especially during those three best years statistically, people always talked about you and what you were doing for Canadian running backs, but you always said, well, my passport doesn't matter. Let's talk about me as a running back as opposed to just being a Canadian running back. But looking back now that you've had some time to reflect on your career, does the fact that, you know, the Canadian side of it played into it too? Do you feel any more pride because you were able to do these things and also do it as a national player?
And much more prideful. I mean, the opportunity I had in the CFL was because I was Canadian. And, you know, sort of being a backup as a Canadian, a lot of teams had backups as a Canadian. But to establish myself as the guy, the amount of work that I had to put in to becoming that. When Coach Huffnagel first came in, he was like, John, you know, if you want to be the guy, you have to be able to block. So I had to bootstrap my blocking ability, which was, you know, they had the let's call it collegiate level, into that of a professional back. So there's a lot of different things I had to do to actually become a starting Canadian running back. And then once I achieved that, you know, a lot of people continue to talk about that. But in the back of my mind, was my ultimate goal was to win the Lou Marsh Trophy, which was an award for a Canadian. I felt the CFL would be the best place to do that, and it ended up working out. But sort of on the backside now, looking at this, I truly hope and wish that we have more Canadian running backs, more Canadian athletes, period, coming up and seeing that, you know, if you have any kind of obstacles, any kind of resistance to what you're trying to do, you can overcome that. You can figure it out and make something work for you. You know, we have a guy like Chuba Hubbard down in Oklahoma State right now, running back, starting for one of the most prestigious colleges for running backs in the U.S. And, you know, to have a guy like that sort of, you know, have the opportunity to see me while he was growing up, that's what I would like to see continue. You know, like, you know, to have the name sort of come into the Hall of Fame, you know, that reminds people. It's like, yeah, John did play. And then, you know, you look back and, yeah, he did exactly what he set out to be, to inspire other Canadians to achieve their highest potential.
Yeah, and if you have not paid attention to Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State, he's a Sherwood Park product, and he is one heck of an athlete, and that guy has got a real pro future for him ahead. Final thought for you, John. You finish your career with one team. You played only for the red and white. How proud are you to retire only and to go into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame only as a member of the Calgary Stampeders?
Yeah, Calgary Stampeders, when I first heard about him, when I was first drafted, I mean, you know, obviously I'd seen him as a kid, but, you know, when I was first drafted, I tried to do some due diligence on the program, and they had their measures of success a little bit in the 90s, a little bit early 2000s. But, you know, what I really liked about the program was that it was a very professionally run program. They had a very, very well set up ownership group. They had a lot of deals in the community. They were well integrated. And those were things I saw to grow while I was in the CFL. And so the Stampeders really allowed me to continue to grow, to connect me with different groups in the community that really integrated me into Calgary. I came to Calgary in 2007, and apart from three off seasons early in my career, I've spent the majority of my time here. And in Calgary, for me, it's home now. But more importantly than that, I really think that Calgary has a culture that's sort of unique in Canada, and to be a part of that, to be a contributor to that, you know, that's one of the greater honors of my life.
Good stuff, John. You're a class act. You're 100% deserving of being a Hall of Famer. And between you and Bo Levi Mitchell, I have been shamed into never picking the Saskatchewan Roughriders to win another game at CFL.ca. You guys have made your impact.
I'm happy we're able to do that, Pat. Very happy.
Good stuff.
Thank
John.
You very much.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. John Cornish is going into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame as part of the class of 2019.